Hey, good morning. I hope you guys are well. It's glad to be with you. Just a wonderful time just to worship. Getting to be live here with Ed when you get to watch it, right, all through the week, and then to actually be here with him is always a privilege. I'm trying not to sing too loud and then like the camera will pick it up and mess everything up. But what a blessing it is to be here. I do see a few prayer requests in there, actually, from my sister having issues with her acid reflux. So I didn't know that yesterday. She was fine, so something must have happened. So we'll pray for her in a second. But we're glad you can join in us. If you want to, go ahead. And if you're on the app or using the app, that's great. We have the church app. I threw that link up there at the very top. You can actually follow along. So if you go down to the bottom on the right, there's a more section. Hit more, and I think it's the seventh item down or so. It says notes. Just click on notes. And then you'll be able to follow right along with the notes that I've created for us and fill in the little blanks and then places where you can put your own notes if you would like to do that. So let's pray, and we'll pray for my sister, and we'll jump right in here. Lord, I love you. I thank you for this time. I thank you for your goodness, Lord, even in the midst of all this craziness, Lord. And I just pray for Brooke, my sister, just ask that you would continue to help her figure out and deal with this acid reflux situation. As it just keeps her from eating and can just be miserable, Lord, in so many avenues and ways, Lord. So just help her today to be able to eat the things that she needs to be able to and just calm her stomach and that she would be able to get back to some kind of normal in that sense, Lord. So for all those who are out there, Lord, with just struggling with different issues, be it sickness or depression or just whatever it would be, we just ask that you would just bless them, Lord. I continue to lift up Kathy Apple, Dave's mom, and I just ask that you continue to help her fight for her life in the midst of this COVID that she has, Lord. So we just ask that you give doctors great wisdom of what to do and what things they can try. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, with that, with the prayer, I would love to, in the midst of this COVID, using our app. If you go to the church app, you'll see a place actually there for prayer requests, whether it's in the more section or on the home page and sliding over at the very bottom. And you can actually put in your own prayer requests. And so I put Kathy Apple on there about a week ago, and she's still continuing to fight for her life, so pray for her. But add your own prayer requests. There's just a little button at the top right. You hit add. You don't even have to put your name. It can be anonymous. Then it gets approved that day, and it should be up later in a few hours whenever it gets approved. So please use that, and then we can also click on there and say, hey, we're praying. We can put little comments and encourage each other. So please utilize that any way that you can. And also, if you haven't made that switch for your giving, if you do reoccurring giving in particular and you need to switch from the old platform to the new, please go to our website or on the app as well, and you can check that out and do that. We're trying to do that before April 30th. Get everything underway. So with that said, jump in to the notes section there and into the Word of God. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 24. I've titled this, Don't Get Ahead of Yourself. And it really could be titled, Don't Get Ahead of God. But the reason why I said don't get ahead of yourself is what I was doing my own Devo. That was the phrase that God just kept speaking to me. Like, Brandon, don't get ahead of yourself. Brandon, don't get ahead of yourself. And essentially to stay with him, right? To trust him, to stay behind him, with him, follow him, let him lead, not me lead, which I think can always be a problem for any of us as we still live in these fleshly bodies, right? And we desire to walk with the Lord every day. But let's just jump in with the time that we have. If you turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 is where I'm going to start here. It says, from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter, I just love Peter, sticking his foot in his mouth here, took him aside and began to rebuke him. Number one, it's not even on here, it's not a point, but just never find yourself rebuking God or Jesus. You're in the bad spot, just so you know. Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And so we'll stop there. Have you ever been in a situation like that where you're in a situation and you feel that something is right, right? And you feel that something is good, and you jump in head first only to find out that you got ahead of yourself, that you spoke too soon, right? That you shouldn't have said that, you shouldn't have done that. And so often God will work that out and in his mercy and grace. But have you ever been in that position, right, where you didn't even realize that you got ahead of God? You didn't even realize that all of a sudden you were leading and not following. And you were just kind of minding your own business. Maybe you've been in the Word. You've been going to church, following him. God's been speaking, great devotion time. I mean, all of the above. And then all of a sudden it was just kind of like, boom, something hits. And you're like, no, that's not right. Or yes, I need to do this. Only to find out like, man, I got ahead. I didn't actually pray about that. I actually didn't talk with the Lord about that. I didn't seek wise counsel, what we talked about last week about hearing from God, right? I didn't, you know, to search the scriptures and wait or whatever it would be. I wasn't patient. So often we can do that. And so I have these seven ways, right? Seven ways that we can hopefully see that we won't get ahead of God. And as you maybe saw before this in the few verses before, this is right after Peter just got done confessing that Jesus was the Messiah. And God said what? Like, hey, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter, but hey, my Father in heaven did. So Peter went from like literally speaking like from the Father in heaven, right? And Jesus like commending him and kind of propping him up to this place of like, dude, you're Satan, right? Get behind me. And so like that was the thing. Like Peter confesses Jesus is a Messiah. Jesus compliments Peter, telling him that God revealed this to him. Jesus tells of his impending suffering, death, and resurrection. So Peter feels that this isn't right, and he feels that he hears from God and therefore has some authority and right to speak. And what does he do? He began to rebuke Jesus. He began to rebuke him. And the idea of began is almost like this idea that Jesus like cut him off. And I don't know how that happened. Like I thought about getting bred up here and like playing this out, and I could just kind of role play. I'll be Jesus, he'll be Peter, you know, and like, and kind of I turn to him and I'm like, get behind me, Satan. And you know, Peter just kind of withers, you know, away and starts crying. Or I thought about like Brett's just talking, and then I just turn and smack him really fast in the middle of it, and he's quiet. You know, how did Jesus do this? I don't know. I'm sure it was with love and compassion, but I just can't imagine. Like he cuts Peter off, like he's rebuking him, and even he says, you what? He pulled him aside, right? It's almost like Peter's like, man, I don't want to embarrass Jesus in front of all the other disciples. And so like, Jesus, just come over here. Like you're speaking nonsense. Like, you remember a while ago, I was speaking from the Father, so now listen to me. You know, what? I don't know what happened, but all I know is that Peter, number one, first point, just because we feel strongly doesn't mean it is the will of God. Just because we feel something doesn't mean that it's the will of God. It made all the sense in the world. Peter felt very strongly, like, you will not go and die. You are the Messiah. We cannot have this, right? It didn't line up with what Peter thought, what he felt. And so he thought he had the right to say, hey, get ahead of God, right? Get ahead of himself. Get ahead of Jesus. Like, this isn't right. I'm going to pull him aside and rebuke him. And it goes back to, again, what we talked about last week, that Peter thought he heard from the Lord, or maybe he didn't even think at all, but he just felt that it wasn't right, but it didn't line up with Scripture, right? If he just would have known the Scripture, Jesus is saying, hey, listen, I've been trying to tell you this for a while now, that I am going to die and that I'm not this Messiah that's coming to overthrow Rome. I'm this Messiah that's coming to save and save this and die for people and for the sins of the world. So Peter, what he said was in contradiction to Scripture, and it was in contradiction to the spiritual authority over him. So that's why we can't base things on feelings, right? Feelings have to go all the way up the ladder through our circumstances, the peace with God, wise counsel, and ultimately the Scripture of God. You know, what are you saying and what you want to do? So it's not based on what we feel. Number two. Just because it's what culture says is right doesn't mean it is what God says is right. Right? Culturally, Peter was thinking, hey, this is what the Messiah was going to be. This is what we've been taught, you know, as a Jewish boy and as a Jewish man, that this Messiah is going to come, he's going to overthrow Rome, and he's going to be this king and all of these things. And culturally, it made sense, right? He's fulfilling these prophecies left and right. He's healing people. So culturally, it made sense. So as soon as he said something that was opposite of the culture, opposite of that, I was like, no, no. I'm going to rebuke you. No, this isn't right. This isn't happening. And so just because culture will tell us something is right doesn't mean that it is right. We get our authority, right? We get our guidance from Scripture, from God, from the direction of the Holy Spirit, not how we feel and not by what culture says is right. That will change to and fro, right? Some words that were inappropriate back in the 60s may not be inappropriate now. And there may be words that are inappropriate now that 60 years from now, our kids will say them and we'll be like, oh my goodness, you know, type thing. Culture, things are going to change, but God's word never changes, right? Never changes. Number three, as we fly through here, God's ways will always lead to faith in Him, not to trust in logic, reason, or ourselves. God's ways will always lead to faith in Him. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't have logic and reason. It doesn't mean that we're not called to use those. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that God's ways will always lead to Him. It will always lead to more faith in Him, not to more faith and trust in logic, reason, or another person, or a church, or a building, or a family member, or whatever it would be, money. It will lead to more faith in Him. If we look, we see that Peter was what? He was not mindful of the things of God, but he was mindful of the things of men, and Jesus exposed his thinking of where he went wrong, of what happened, what the shift went from, how he was able to speak from the Father, if you will, and then all of a sudden speak from Satan, if you will. And the problem was is that he started getting his eyes right off of the Lord and what God was doing, and got him on himself, right, on the world, on the culture, on his feelings, on all of those things that he would, that they would tell him, that they would say that would be right. And he wasn't mindful. And so he started trusting in the logic and the reason. This is what I think. This is what I feel. This is what I've always heard. This is what makes the most sense. It doesn't make sense that you would go and die. Like, you just got here. You're the king. You're the Messiah. What do you mean, die? That just makes no sense at all, Lord. Right? So he feels again that he can rebuke him. He didn't make a deliberate choice to reject God and embrace Satan, right? His mind just got settled on the things of men instead of settled on the things of God. And how often does that happen? So often, there's times where maybe we deliberately sin, okay? I get that. But there is times where so often we're just going about our merry way and we get ahead of ourselves, we get ahead of God. We don't even realize we've taken our eyes off Him in some situation or whatever it would be. And then now all of a sudden, we're going head first into something, kind of leading into something. And in this case, like, Jesus attributed it to Satan, right? I don't know how much worse it could get, that he went from doing the work of God, right, to the work of Satan and discouraging Jesus, because his eyes were on men, not on the things of God. And this is a perfect example of how a sincere heart coupled with man's thinking, right, can lead to disaster. He had a sincere heart. I mean, he was rebuking Jesus, like, with all sincerity, right? And we would probably maybe even do the same. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's God's ways. That's what God wants to do. It defied the logic and reasoning at that point in time of what he understood, and it needed to lead to a faith in who he was and who God was and his ways, right? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 there. Number four, as we only have a few minutes, our place is behind Jesus, not in front of him. It is our place to follow him in the way he chooses, not to try to lead him in the way you would like him to go. And so often that's what we want to do with God. I even think about that with the COVID. I would love for this to be done. I'm sick and tired of it, as most of you probably are, right? And there's all kinds of media and thoughts on this and this and that, and I'm just tired of it. But at the end of the day, I have to follow the Lord's leading, right? And what he is asking us to do, to be patient. All right, to trust, right, to trust leadership of the country, of the people here at church, and ultimately whatever the Lord would be calling us to do. So it's not our place, right, to lead God. We need to be behind him. We need to follow him. And sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes it takes us places where we don't want to go or things we don't want to do. Number five of seven, we will either be tools for God or for the world. We either be tools for God or for the world. You're going to be a tool, not as in a tool like an idiot, right? But a tool like in the hand of the maker, you know, a tool from the barn, if you will, from the toolbox. You're either going to be for the world, all right, or you're going to be for God, right? And in that, you're either going to be used by God or you're going to be used by the world. And hopefully it's used by God in the way that we are being obedient and following him. Peter was not aware that he spoke for Satan, right? I don't believe that he was aware. I mean, he thought he was doing it in sincerity, doing a good thing. He was not aware before, I think, that he was speaking from the Father when he told that Jesus was the Messiah. He just wasn't aware at all. It's Peter, right? It's often much easier Listen, it's often much easier to be a tool for the world when our eyes are on, or sorry, it's much easier to be a tool of God or of the devil than we want to believe. Right? It's actually a lot easier than we think to be a tool for God or a tool for the enemy. And it's in our heart, as we look in and we see Peter's example here, if we don't have our eyes on God, which is number 7, if we don't have our eyes on God, we're going to miss that. And so look at number 7. Number 6. We become tools for the world when our eyes are on anything other than God. When we're on anything other than God, then we miss the boat. When we are focused on things of this world, put in money, media, politics, relationships, whatever you want to put in there, when we start getting our eyes on those things out of circumstance, right, we're in a really dangerous spot that we're going to be a tool for the world, right? A tool for the enemy instead of for the Lord and what He wants us to do. Because when our eyes are on Him, that changes everything. Because our focus is one of eternity. It's one on what He wants to do, not what we want to do. And then hopefully we don't find ourselves rebuking Jesus, right? Rebuking God. We find ourselves fighting against God instead of being with Him on His side, right? And that comes with keeping our eyes on Him. And then last but not least, we become tools for God when we deny ourselves and die, right? And did you see the transition there from Peter at the very beginning, oh, you're the Messiah, to now all of a sudden he's rebuking Jesus. Jesus calls him Satan. And so then Jesus kind of picks it up, and read the rest of the chapter. He kind of picks it up and says, hey, listen, you want to follow me? This is what you need to do. Number one, stop rebuking me. He didn't even add that. It's kind of an obvious one, right? Hey, you need to die. Deny yourself and die. And this is something that we don't want to do. Human nature wants to indulge itself. It doesn't want to deny itself. Right? It wants the ice cream, right? It wants the cake. It wants all of those things. It wants what it sees on TV. It wants all of those things. It doesn't want to stop itself, right? When you want to work out to try to get in shape, right? The body doesn't want to do it normally, right? You have to kind of, I got to get up. I got to go do this. I got to go run. I got to, you know, be on this diet, whatever it is that you're trying to do, and you discipline yourself because your body doesn't want it. It wants what it wants. It wants to indulge itself. Listen, death to self is always terrible. And if we expect it to be a pleasant or mild experience, we will be disillusioned. We will be disillusioned, right? So he says to what? Take up your cross. And this meant one thing, that you were going to certain death, and your only hope was in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Right? That's our only hope. We're going to die. We need to deny ourselves, right? They're thinking, hey, Jesus, it's bad enough that you're saying that you're going to go to the cross and die. But now you're saying to follow you, we got to pick up the cross. We got to pick up this instrument of death, right? Not some religious symbol at that time. Instrument of death and follow you? I don't know about this. Guys, taking up your cross is not a journey in the sense of one to come back from. All right, taking up your cross was not a journey. It was always a one-way trip, right? It was never something that you were going to get a return ticket from. I don't like it. It bothers me so much when people say, oh, you know, I tried that Jesus thing and it didn't work. I mean, that's like saying, well, I tried death and it just didn't work for me. And so now I'm here again. What? No, you tried death once. You're dead, man. You can't do anything else, right? You don't try Jesus. You die to self and you give your life to Him, right? That is it. We don't try Jesus. We die. Your life belongs to God now. It's not about how you feel, what the culture says, what is logical or reasonable. It's about what faith would lead us to in Him. We follow as He leads. We die as He gives us new life. Right, guys? We're not just forgiven. You know the little bumper stickers? And this is the last thing I'll say. We're not just forgiven. Those little bumper stickers that say, hey, oh, you're forgiven. It's like the only difference between the heathen and me is that I'm forgiven and they're not. Like, I know Jesus and they don't, right? Guys, it's so much more than that. We are forgiven and we're also transformed. He actually transformed us. We are dead and now we're a new creation in Christ. So it's not like we're just forgiven and I just kind of got like, oh, I'm just forgiven and I got to kind of go through this life of pain and suffering just being forgiven. No, I'm transformed by Jesus, by Jesus. So guys, hey, be encouraged in the midst of this time. I pray that you and I both don't get ahead of God, get impatient, and we start thinking that we need to rebuke God and say what He needs to do in our lives in this time right now. So let's just be patient, continue to keep our eyes on him, and continue to look for ways that we can serve other people around us in the midst of this unprecedented time. God bless you guys. Have a great and wonderful day.